All right, welcome everybody. It is Sunday, June 24, 2018. We're in our series of no series. This is just a random sermon today, come to think of it. And the title of this sermon is Faith of Our Fathers. Okay, this is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the faith of our founding fathers here in the United States of America. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control of the nations. And we thank you, Lord, that we see you operating in the history of all nations. We see you operating, and we thank you, Lord. People don't always see it at the moment, but we can read history and we can see how you operated, and that encourages us for how you will operate currently and in the future. And so, Lord, we pray today that your Holy Spirit will be in our midst, helping us to appreciate the price that has been paid for freedom in the United States, and that we would be encouraged, Lord, to walk in the faith of Jesus Christ. And for this we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is, we talked a little bit, I think we had stopped recording, but we talked a little bit about this, about Samuel Adams last week. And so since next Sunday is a communion Sunday, and it's going to be a communion message, I decided that I would do this message today, which is a message I wrote about Samuel Adams, really for the 4th of July, although it was dated in June, but coming up to our Independence Day, okay, 4th of July here in the United States of America. And I think it's very interesting. So hopefully we will truly profit from this. It is entitled Faith of Our Fathers. It's a message that I wrote, a message of the month that I wrote back in June of 2010. All right. And I will say the upshot of it was, because I was reading a book about Samuel Adams at the time. And anyway, we have on our website, because our web manager, Croy, put up an entire website, I mean, an entire portion of our website called Faith of Our Fathers on our website, marycraig.org. So it's up there, and when you click on it, Faith of Our Fathers, you're going to get this whole history and all kinds of links that talk about this. And you know, even in doing this, I went all through that again. It's very wonderful. It's a very excellent resource for Christians wanting to research the faith of our fathers, the fathers of the United States of America. And you might consider those in other countries. You might consider doing something like this on your websites for the faith of the fathers related to Christianity in your nation. I just throw that out there because it's very helpful and it's very encouraging. The battle for freedom has to be fought with every generation, I think. That's what we see in history. All right, so this is how it went. This was from June 2010. It began one afternoon as our TiVo is a thing we have with DirecTV that records the programs, and you can go back at any time and you don't have to watch the ads. Oh, it's great. All right. Our TiVo captured a Glenn Beck show on Founding Fathers Fridays. He was doing that back then. The first show that I saw recounted the contribution of Samuel Adams to our nation's founding. I know the history of our nation is being skewed because they're doing a lot of rewriting of our history. That is not new. The Egyptians did it. They rewrite history. They come in and rewrite the history. Okay. And I was happy to see this program attempting to put forth some primary source material to give a more balanced view of those historic times. Primary source material is you get it right from the person who did the writing, and then you have to make up your own mind. You read what they wrote. Now, the thing that's happening in the United States today is that a lot of that writing, primary source material, was done in cursive, what we call cursive handwriting. And they're not teaching handwriting in many, many places anymore to elementary school kids. They're not learning handwriting anymore, which means they won't be able to read a lot of primary source material to see how the nation's history is being spinned or altered or not even told. Okay? See how sneaky it is? Okay. So I read Samuel Adams' A Life by Ira Stoll and found it most enlightening. Then I asked our web manager, Croy Ellis, to begin work on a segment for our website to be entitled Faith of Our Fathers. And I've told you about that. He came up with that website. It's a very helpful resource to the Christian community on the roots of America and its democracy. Okay, so to whet your appetite a bit so you'll take some time to dig deeper into the roots of the American Revolution and the founding of our nation, I want to tell you some more about Samuel Adams. Now, this is not John Adams. John Adams was the cousin of Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams lived from September 1722 to October 1803, to October 2nd, 1803. This patriot leader suffered otherwise shattering losses. His first wife and four of their children died of natural causes before the Revolutionary War began, even. A close friend was decapitated, his head presented as a trophy to the British commanding general. He spent nearly 3 years at the Congress in Philadelphia, separated from his family. His house was vandalized by British troops. He was targeted by the British Crown for his stance for America's independence and more. Now, I will say, you know, if you're a Londoner and you're looking at the United States of America, yes, there is rebellion. You know, America became independent, and we have that in our history, that little rebellion. Here in Florida, Florida is known for what's called a renegade spirit down here. And that's why in our news, national news even, oftentimes we see what we call the South Florida connection, because these people come down here and they have that renegade spirit. All right, anyway, Samuel Adams saw himself as a conserver, someone who was going to conserve the New England Puritan tradition. He was ahead of his time. For example, he declined to accept a slave as a gift, appealed to the American Indians for aid in the Revolution, and extended public education in Massachusetts to girls. Well, all right. He has become a mostly forgotten founder, though Thomas Jefferson called him, quote, truly the man of the Revolution, unquote, and many credit him as the father of America more than George Washington. All right. Whose quote, where does this end? I'm taking a quote now from a website called colonial-america.suite101.com. So this is a quote. Samuel Adams, at a town meeting in Boston on November 2nd, 1772, made a motion that a committee of correspondents be appointed to draft a statement about the rights that the colonists felt were due them. Based on the philosophies of John Locke, Adams and others believed natural rights were due them under the protection of the unwritten British Constitution. So, here's what it is. Rights of man summed up to three natural rights. The town appointed several to this committee, including Samuel Adams, who was the primary author of a Declaration of Rights. Contemporary accounts said that Adams' declaration, quote, embodied the whole philosophy of human rights, condensed from the doctrines of all times and applied to the immediate circumstances of America, unquote. Now, this declaration had three main parts. First, the natural rights of the colonists as men. Second, rights of the colonists as Christians. Third, rights of the colonists as subjects of the British Crown. Adams' declaration opened, quote, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, a right to life. Second, to liberty. Third, to property, together with the right to support and defend them in the best manner they can. Unquote. He went on to say that all men had a right to remain in a state of nature as long as they pleased, but in the event of intolerable oppression from either civil or religious authorities, or a mix of the two, they had the right to leave that society and seek out and join another. Man's voluntary entering into society did not mean giving up any natural rights, except for those specifically agreed to, and all the civil laws should conform so far as possible to the law of natural reason and equity. Later he added, quote, the natural liberty of man by entering into society is abridged or restrained so far only as is necessary for the great end of society, the best good of the whole. Unquote. Okay, so Samuel Adams, who was born and who died in Boston, was a patriot, a newspaper man who recognized the power of the press. My goodness. He was poor compared to many fellow patriots, zealous for liberty, a staunch defender of property rights, an opponent of certain taxes, critical of the influence of money on politics, skeptical of a powerful federal government, and a man holding a deep conviction of Christianity. For example, he compared the American revolutionaries to the Israelites who left the slavery of Egypt, God guiding them in the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He addressed delegates in York in September 1777 at a time of desperation and despondency, with a plea to awaken and evince a spirit that would inspire the people with confidence in themselves and in the leaders, a spirit that would encourage them to persevere in, quote, this glorious struggle, unquote, until their rights and liberties should be established on a rock. Now, another fellow, I'm going to quote Samuel Adams, 1777, in William V. Wells, The Life and Public Services of Samuel Adams. This was a book published in 1866. Quote, we have appealed to heaven for the justice of our cause, and in heaven we have placed our trust. When he's talking about that, that's kind of a belief in the courts of heaven. We have appealed to heaven for the justice of our cause, and in heaven we have placed our trust. Numerous have been the manifestations of God's providence in sustaining us. In the gloomy period of adversity, we have had our cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. We have been reduced to distress, and the arm of omnipotence has raised us up. Let us still rely in humble confidence on Him who is mighty to save. Good tidings will soon arrive. We shall never be abandoned by heaven while we act worthy of its aid. and protection." Unquote. Then after a strategic victory at Saratoga, New York, Congress in New York adopted a report drafted by Samuel Adams declaring Thursday, December 18, 1777, a, quote, day of thanksgiving to God. Okay, now, when was our Declaration of Independence? July 4th, 1776. I'm just, so we get our timeline. Yeah. This is after that. December 18, 1777, he declared that a day of thanksgiving to God. The day would be set aside so that people might express their gratitude and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, and that, together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God, through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, blot their sins out of remembrance. Unquote. To understand our fight for independence and the patriots who fought for liberty, we need to see this perspective of the association of liberty with moral rectitude and faith. Samuel Adams walked in the courage of his conviction with an endurance that contributed to the independence of America. He has been described as a man of incorruptible integrity and republican simplicity of character, with an amazing industry, courage, ceaseless vigilance, and wise statesmanship, as one cheerful and demonstrating fortitude amid disasters. And that's from William V. Wells in his 1866 biography, the biography about Samuel Adams. Biblical references and talk of God permeated Adams' writings as he argued publicly for the cause of liberty. It is said that he conceived the churches, when confined to their original design, to be excellent schools of morality, adapted to promote the future happiness of mankind and a powerful aid in defending civil as well as religious privileges of America. So that was his view of the church, that the church should be teaching morality, moral character. Today in a lot of schools you're not allowed to say to some child, that is wrong. You can say, what do you think about that, Johnny? And Johnny might say, I liked it. I like to punch Sally in the stomach. I like to poke Billy in the back. Well, is that a good idea? Do you think that? Yes, I think that's a very good idea. It gives me a lot of satisfaction. But back then, it was schools teach right from wrong. This is wrong. Certain things we know are wrong. And they were teaching the Bible, because Christians are being conformed to the moral character of Jesus Christ. There is a morality. It's not loving. Well, it's not loving. It's not loving, you know, to punch Billy in the back. I want to. It doesn't always go that far, even. I do what I want.
So there's Billy and his posse.
Well, and Billy and his posse might come after Johnny or whomever, you know? And they might, and that's how wars begin, and that's how gangs are developed. That's how gangs are developed. Samuel Adams never held national office, as did other founding fathers such as George Washington, John Adams, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and Alexander Hamilton. He was not an ambassador like Benjamin Franklin. His service was to Massachusetts, and so he served 7 years in Congress and as governor of Massachusetts from 1793 to 1797, not that many years. Samuel Adams was known not only for his public life, but also for his daily morning and evening prayers, and for his reverence for keeping the Christian Sabbath and, quote, the altar of Jesus Christ. Adams held a confidence that God would protect Americans so long as they were virtuous, just as God had stood by the Israelites in their exodus from slavery. In his will, Samuel Adams wrote, quote, principally and first of all, I recommend my soul to that almighty being who gave it, and my body I commit to the dust, relying on the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins, unquote. Okay, this is a very short message because it had been a message of the month, which were limited as far as their content. But we could actually go into some of the views there on liberty, but we're going to get more into that next week in the communion message on liberty. Mm-hmm. I also have written an article. It is on our website at marycraig.org. You have to go on the home page, and up to the left there's a search engine, and the article was called Finding True Liberty, and I wrote it in 2014. Finding True Liberty.
Is it long?
None of these are that. In that, I think I wrote that when they came out with a Supreme Court decision, and this was my kind of comments on it about finding true liberty, because they redefined the word liberty in the United States. Okay, but I hope this has whetted our appetite to learn more and to be inspired by our founding fathers and their faith. And maybe we want to pick their faith apart, but we have to understand that they had this faith, they had confidence, they walked out, it cost them greatly. The cost to this country to have freedom was very great. And yes, the pioneer spirit, whatever, that those people were just amazing people to persevere.
No, I think the frontier was something. I mean, it might
the
have
frontier.
Been something in philosophy that I remembered in college that they called frontier, I think.
Well, I have read diaries. I've read firsthand what they call primary source material of the diaries of the people who crossed the frontier to move out west. Remember, we were on that trail.
Yeah,
where
it was
shows
I think the idea was
Kansas.
That the frontier allowed for an alternative to oppression in a city or in a region, that as long as you still had a frontier, if you didn't like it, you could go to the frontier and start the next city or whatever. Like you had a place to go. You weren't trapped. You always had a place to go.
You always
until
had
we
a frontier.
Ran out of land with California, and until we ran out of frontier.
Well, and then we moved into.
And then you didn't have a place.
Alaska.
To, you didn't
and
have
then
a place
moved.
To run to anymore.
Right.
You know.
So now maybe you run to Jesus Christ.
You know, and then the oppression could didn't they didn't have to treat you as well because you couldn't leave.
Well, then they try. Then they now they call space the new frontier.
And try to get there. Yeah.
And some of them have.
If you're rich enough.
So, well,
for a moment.
Okay, but it all started out that way.
Yeah.
All right. So they were born for such a time and made for such a time in which they lived. And again, you know, you can go to our section on our website, Faith of Our Fathers. We are a nation drifting from devotion to the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, with some trying to loose our nation from its moorings. So I encourage, search out the truth. In 2010, it was being said that we are no longer a Christian nation. And we have to ask, is this what we want for the future? And a lot of people have said no, many, in the last election here, no. And we're seeing a lot of things starting to turn around in this nation. What are the merits of Jesus Christ? and what was so known from biblical truth that our founding fathers were willing to forge a new nation because of what they saw as being endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. So, the idea here is you don't have to form an opinion on hearsay. Read the documents for yourself, and you might really be surprised. I know I was. You might really be surprised. Those documents are still out there, and hopefully they are in print on the internet, since so much has been lost with the losing of being able to read handwriting, or it's being lost.
I think the
Wall Builders
website, Wall Builders, if it's still out there, that guy Barton has collected a tremendous number of the original documents and digitized them.
Okay, so it's called what? Wallbuilders.com or wallbuilders.org?
Yeah, it's one or the other, I'm not sure.
Okay,
which.
So that's www.wallbuilders.com, it's either .com or .org. And
okay.
So we can suggest that one too. All right. But I will say one thing you will see with the early Christians, they did seek forgiveness for their sins through the merits of Jesus Christ. It's the only way we have liberty is through Jesus Christ. True liberty, breaking free of the yokes of bondage, whether it's the bondage of heathenism, whether it's the bondage even of legalism, being under some system of rules and regulation. You know, it's not just where the Christian is being exhorted, like in the book of Galatians, to being free from the rules and regulations of Judaism because we have something better in the new covenant in Christ's blood. We're to move to what's better. We're not to go back and put ourselves under a bondage that it says, like in Acts chapter 15, neither we nor our fathers could ever keep. Okay? But you move on, and you don't want to develop a yoke of bondage of, even today in Christianity land, of a lot of rituals and various bondages of, every day I must have devotions at a certain time of day. I must do this, I must do that. And if I don't, it's it for me. I call it the victorious Christian life routine. The victorious Christian life routine is only lived by, with, and through the Holy Spirit. You read the book of Galatians. It's not very long. And so we find this liberty. Sin is seen as the body of this death, like a big, huge weight on our back. And the only way that we don't have that bondage is when we turn in faith and repentance to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. That's the only way. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, according to God's mercy, that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and by renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it comes. And it plays out then as when Christians are free and they understand the foundation of their freedom, because we are exhorted to stand fast in the freedom wherewith we have been set free, which I'm going to talk about next week. On that foundation, the people that founded this nation came over here with that in mind. They want to be free. They wanted to be free. And most came over for religious freedom. Not all, some of them, it was strictly for money. That's true. We have a divided history. Some came over just for power. They came over for various reasons. But this nation was founded. Our documents are based on, like I said, this, some of these laws that have to do with freedom, even the natural laws that are out there that we have a right to. And we have to defend that. We have organizations in our nation that defend freedom. And we have to do that from one generation to the next, or we will lose it. We will lose our freedom. You can tell, you know, you wonder, you go to a country and maybe your heritage is from that nation. And you wonder, how do they know we're Americans? They know us because people here don't realize there is a whole attitude, and we may really have an attitude, I admit it, that goes along with being born in a free nation, where you essentially have these freedoms that don't exist in other nations. They are living under different systems of government, and they are not completely free. And Americans come around, and they don't understand it. I remember sitting, well, you might too. We were in someplace, Argentina, I think. Oh no, Chile. We were in Chile, and at the time they were having trouble there. The government people, certain of the government people, I'm not sure at what level, were expecting bribes, and we were part of a group. And, of course, growing up free, our daughter was, you know, free. Freedom of speech, right? Basic freedom in the United States. It's gotten a little out of hand now with some of the speech, and they have to keep, you know, because they're abusing the freedom of speech now in our country, I think. But anyway, she saw the person. A man came up to the driver of the vehicle.
It's Argentina.
It was Argentina?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it was Argentina. And came up to the driver of the vehicle expecting a bribe or you know, blah, 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 what happened. And Joanna's just, like, right in there, you know, gonna voice an opinion, you know. And the woman behind her had come out of a communist nation where she had it was very oppressive, and she had gone through a lot of oppression, and she managed to escape to America, and it was an Eastern European nation.
You know what it's like to be stopped by the cops for money all the time.
All the time.
Right.
And she was
usually beer money, but
she was
money
so afraid. You cannot believe the look on her face.
They don't pay them very well.
She was so afraid. And she was like, shh, shh. They could arrest us all and put us in prison. She had to give up. She was a highly trained professional. She gave up, but she had to leave to come to the freedom in the United States. When her family got out, her father, who had been educated, just took the first job he could get, any work. They were just happy to be in the United States in a free country. And they came here legally. They got here legally. I will mention that. But the look of fear, and it was a genuine fear with that. But our daughter didn't have that fear at all, because to her, the police were your friends. They were on your side. And she learned that not in every country. So we fight for these freedoms from one generation to another, and we have to hold fast, like the Bible says. We have to stand fast in the freedom for which Christ has set us free. That's a spiritual freedom. And it does affect, it's supposed to affect our culture. Christianity should affect culture. It should have an impact on the culture.
Not the other way around.
Not the other way around. All right. And to this I say, amen.